This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasuthi. Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist in the studio with me. It's Friday at 4 o'clock and guess what? It was World Tuberculosis Day on the 24th of March, which was Tuesday. And did you know about that, George?
I do now.
Do you think that people don't really care very much about tuberculosis?
Well,
anymore.
You know, I totally agree that people seem to give out that sort of perception that it's a kind of dark ages disease and it's a disease that we don't have to worry about, you know, kind of putting together with smallpox, polio and that sort of thing. But on the contrary, actually, it is quite a scary statistic that showed that, you know, like you were highlighting that 24th of March was a World Tuberculosis Day. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there were a lot of statistics came out that day to show that it is definitely not a disease that we can just simply put it behind us and then think that it is a disease of the past.
You know, all this time, I mean, I read about articles as far as TB is concerned, and I thought they had it under control because we all received vaccinations when we were young.
That's right.
And I'm like, okay, we should be totally in control of this condition, but obviously we're not. But it is coming in the studio with us, Dr. Abdul Razak. He's a director at the Institute of Respiratory Medicine, Hospital Kuala Lumpur. Welcome to the show, Dr. Abdul Razak.
Thank you,
Emma.
How are you today? Great. Thank you for calling me. Do you just want to
go through with us, what is this Institute of Respiratory Medicine?
Okay, it started in 1961 as a TB center.
Right.
So we call NTBC those days.
Okay.
The National Tuberculosis Center, no? And it started in 61. And over the years, somewhere around the 80s, 90s, the TB was going down. You were correct. It was going down over the years because we had good medication then. And we didn't have much people with TB those days. TB is very infectious. So the more people get TB, the more TB will there be in the country.
Right.
That's how it works. It is airborne. You cough in the air and you drop out all this sputum in the air and you get these droplets, they call it, and it just evaporates to the thin air. And you can just breathe into the next person next sitting next to you.
Mm.
And over the years, they were well controlled. Somewhere in late 80s, then HIV came in. So the HIV decreased immune system in the body.
Yeah.
So about 15% of patients with TB in Malaysia had HIV and TB together.
Presently, currently.
Those days.
Okay.
Because it says that HIV became the fuel for TB infection.
Exactly. So they call the two devils working together.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, again, somewhere around 80s, 90s, we became more developed. We wanted more people to work. We get people outside Malaysia to come to work.
It's an immigrant wave.
Immigrant wave.
So in the 80s, you get the HIV wave, yes. Then you get the immigrants wave in the 90s.
Correct. And then again, later, we get lots of homeless people and high-risk groups. The thing is, Meera, TB is not a very bad disease. But with the situation right now with HIV and other diseases like diabetes, diabetes is a big problem in Malaysia.
Yes.
Very big problem.
And diabetes.
yes.
A lot of studies show that about 15 to 20% of TB patients have diabetes.
Yes, correct.
What is the link?
No, the thing is, I was in Terengganu and I worked in Penang, I'm now in Kuala Lumpur. I did studies in all these three places. 20% of patients with TB got diabetes. When you have diabetes, Meera, it's very easy. Your body system goes down.
Immune system.
Yes. It's just like you get a wound in your leg or your hands and you're diabetic. You get gangrene.
Right. It's difficult to recover.
It doesn't recover. Okay. So it's just like a person who's drunk, you know. If I can say it's a drunk person, if a person is drunk, he can't fight. So similarly, if your body has lots of sugar, your soldiers in the body are drunk. Okay.
That's what sugar does to you.
Yeah, exactly. That sugar just kills the system in the body.
Did you know that,
Jim? Yeah. For my side, the sugar is fueling all the bacteria in the urine, because the urine is filled with sugar and then all the bacteria keep giving, urinary tract infection.
Yeah,
and then I guess it's feeding the tuberculosis bacteria, really.
Wow.
So when the immune system goes down and when the germs go to your lungs, your soldiers and lungs don't fight them, or they can't fight them. And it just goes in. I mean, it goes to your body with all the drunk soldiers with those high sugar content. They can't fight them.
So at what point did you change the name? That, you know, because the institute initially was a TB center.
Yes. How has it evolved?
That's right. So at what point did you decide, okay, we don't call it TB center because it's not longer a problem.
Yeah,
but now clearly that TB has several waves of all these risk factors, yeah, such as the, you know, diabetes, the HIV, the immigrants, the homelessness.
And the old age.
Yeah, and we live longer.
Yes.
So all these are the five factors that are actually fueling the TB.
True.
So at what point did you change name?
The thing is 1997, I think so, around that time, we were not treating TB alone.
Oh, right.
We were treating asthma, COPD, lung cancer, pneumonias, everything to do with lung disease, we are treating that.
Right.
And we are also a center for screening for lung transplant.
Right.
So we are doing everything A to Z for lung disease. Mm-hmm. So the name, the TB center, doesn't actually suit very well.
It's a negative connotation.
Yeah, exactly. It is, isn't it? It does.
Yes. But people will run away. People will stay away from the.
Well, it's like leprosy, right? It became like a stigma.
Yes, true.
And even TB, if only people understand the extent at which it's spreading, it's the second highest infectious disease in Malaysia after HIV.
No.
Is that correct?
Yes, in terms of figure, yes. But in terms of mortality, Mira, my study is the highest.
Wow.
Yeah, higher
so
than
there are more people who die of TB than HIV.
Right.
At least at the moment, yes.
Why aren't we reminded of that?
Exactly, okay. Yes.
So hence we have the World TB Day to tell us about that.
Okay. But where did we go wrong?
No, we go wrong
because
in many ways.
We did well with the vaccinations. I mean, George and I got BCG, remember?
That's right.
Standard 6.
But I think, Mira, that's why you're wrong, you know?
It's not vaccination.
Yeah,
right?
Because I think it's vaccination. Many people have this thought about vaccination. Oh, I'm vaccinated. I'm sort of protected. Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. But the interesting thing is the vaccination lasts only 15 years. It's not lifelong. Very important. And it doesn't protect you 100% from the day 1 to 15 years. It doesn't.
Right, okay.
It protects you
so
only
does,
about
So does it mean that we need booster every time or booster doesn't really
it
work?
It doesn't make anything. In fact, the thing is we were giving boosters those days. You get one BCG when you're born.
And scientific data show that it doesn't really boost further immunization.
So the second dose of booster we gave when you're on standard 6, mm-hmm. we stopped it because we said it's wasting money. Your body must fight. So initially the BCG is good when you're small because immune system not developed yet.
Right.
So they protect you when you're small. And when you are bigger, the body says, okay, I'm good, I'm big now, I'm going to fight the germs myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the BCG booster doesn't have at all.
Okay, right. I mean, I'm so glad that Mira brought up this topic because, increasingly, I mean, I worked in the UK for many years and never really saw TB. And then working in Malaysia, I probably on average will see about 3 to 5 TBs.
Very true.
And even urologists see TB.
Exactly.
And then it's because, you know, TB can appear anywhere. Most people assume that it's a pulmonary disease. You know, however, my mother had TB. My mother had TB in the 70s and the TB arise from her sternum or from the bone.
Okay.
And in my youth, I just, you know, and the two aspects of that I really kind of reminded me of my youth. Number one was that, you know, she was just ostracized into one place because everyone's absolutely scared that, you know, she they might contract TB. And then, you know, my mom eventually went to Singapore, had antibiotics for months and months and months. We remember visited her for a while and then she was completely recovered. And that's kind of one aspect of my own kind of experience that I want to talk about. Mm. The second thing is that a lot of patients present with like TB of the testicle, TB in the blood, TB in the urine.
Yeah,
and then so when they present like that, you know, everyone has this fear that they're whether they're going to get it or not. Mm. And that will be an interesting to talk about.
See, we always think about, you know, it being airborne and people coughing, but you may not cough.
Yeah, true.
If it's TB of the brain, for an example.
That the brain doesn't cough.
Exactly. Right. So what are the symptoms?
Great.
Then?
Mira, the thing is, what George says is very interesting. I was in UK also for 2 years. This was 20 years ago. And in that hospital I worked, it's a world center for lung disease. And you know how many cases of TB I saw there?
This is Brompton's, was it?
In Brompton?
That's right.
I only saw one TB case in the whole year.
And they call themselves the Center of Excellence. And they treat one.
Only one. And I see about 20 cases sometimes
per day.
My center, Mira, sees about 1,500 cases of TB in a year. Just in a year in my center alone.
Are you concerned? I mean, in 2000...
I'm really concerned.
In
really
2013,
concerned.
The number of TB cases
really
across
concerned.
The country
exactly.
had crossed 20,000.
Exactly.
And where does it stand today?
The thing is, it's 24,711 now.
Are you kidding? Are you serious? That you know,
I'm very serious.
Last year we had 24,711 cases of TB reported. This is reported
in 1 year.
In a year, these are new cases.
24,000 new cases.
Yes.
Oh, George.
That's frightening, isn't it?
So, you know, this newspaper headline on NST that actually says that tuberculosis on the rise, which, you know, which is, I got. It says that, you know, there was 1,252 tuberculosis in Penang, you know. And then I was thinking, well, you know, we got 1,200 cases in Penang. Probably in the whole country, we're talking about 5,000. You're talking about five times that.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
I mean, what's causing this? I mean, you said something about immigrants, but I was also reading that it's a misconception.
It's
immigrants contribute to a very small percentage of TB cases.
It's only about the most 15%, maybe go to 20%, that's all. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, if we could not blame them because they bring in maybe yes, but not a very high percentage. But 80% are still Malaysians. They're still Malaysians. And I always believe that the most important thing why we actually can't control them is people's ignorance. I think that's the main thing.
Do elaborate that. What do you
mean? But do we blame them for the ignorance?
I don't think, as a doctor, I don't think I should blame them because we are educated. We should know about TB, but not the public.
In what sense do you think the ignorance is fueling kind of like the spread of TB in Malaysia?
Ignorance in the sense that, Josh, when they do have a cough, okay, if the cough goes for a week, it's a normal cough. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a normal cough. If the cough goes on for about 2 weeks and 3 weeks and you lose weight, you lose appetite and you have fever, and you've coughed out blood, these are signs of a bad infection. Mm. And you have to go and see a doctor to get some tests done. Just by taking a cough mixture, that's what most people do.
Self-treating.
They self-treat sometimes. And sometimes they go and see a doctor in a clinic where a doctor may not have things to do, the sputum examination, the chest x-ray. And whenever they take an antibiotic for any cough, it may be TB, may not be TB, the cough does go down. Because the antibody does kill the bacteria to a certain extent.
Right.
They'll feel well for a while.
Okay.
And then they say, oh, I'm okay, I'll go on. Then the cough comes again. They will say, oh, that doctor is no good. I'll go see another guy.
I'll go see George.
We even have a term for that. We call it doctor shopping.
Exactly.
So you think part of this is to blame is because
the system.
Of the system.
Exactly.
Because we don't have continuity care for individual patients under the current primary care system.
True.
Mm, okay, right. True. Well, I'm trying to, you know, to understand, is this truly the reason why we have such rise because of the ignorance.
I can totally understand that. I mean, if it's airborne.
It's airborne, yes, correct.
And we are the sort who self-medicate and doctor shop, then it's very easy to miss.
Yeah. Can I just say something, Mira?
And hence, you know, the mortality rate is
definitely so high. You suppose somebody coughs for, say, a month, say, 2 months. I've got patients cough for 6 months and they come with severe PTB. PTB means pulmonary tuberculosis. And when they come with severe TB in the lungs and they're coughing for 6 months and they are married, they have children, they have husband, they have father, their mother, and they work and they go to shop. And can you imagine who are exposed? This is how it is exposed to everybody in the county community. That's how it spreads.
Right.
So if she can come early, say we cough for 2 weeks and then we give her treatment immediately and TB is treated, they will not spread for so many people.
You know, I had to do a sputum test. My father made me when I was 17.
Oh, that's good.
He was paranoid that I had TB.
That's good.
It was actually a postnasal drip.
Okay.
It just irritated my throat every morning. Okay. But he was in the public health government.
That's good.
So he just didn't want to let, leave no stone unturned. And so I had to do one. I did two sputum tests.
He didn't want the daughter to be responsible for epidemic in Seremban.
But we'll come back. I mean, there's a lot more to discuss about tuberculosis. Our phone lines are open. If you'd like to give us a call, we have Dr. Abdulraza Abdul Muttalif, the director of the Institute of Respiratory Medicine, really the best person to answer your question on tuberculosis, and Dr. George Lee. Send it, call us 0377 109000, tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. Dr. Abdulraza Abdul Muttalif, Director of the Institute of Respiratory Medicine in Hospital Kuala Lumpur with us. Together, of course, with Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist.
Making himself relevant.
Yes. No, my co-host when it comes to health conditions outside of his scope of work. And we're discussing tuberculosis. It was World Tuberculosis Day on the 24th of March. And the WHO's theme for this year, was 2015, is Reach, Treat, Cure Everyone. And that's what Dr. Abdulrazak just, you know, gave us alarming numbers as to how there are about 24,000 cases just in 2014, which I think is alarming. George, you want to kick off the basics about tuberculosis?
Absolutely. You know, so there are two things I wanted to say. I mean, I said I wanted to make myself relevant today. Actually, I think you're right that in many ways, all doctors all have to play a role in order to ensure that we diagnose the disease accurately and trying to get the patients treated accurately. And also, the other thing which is very alarming is that TB can affect any part of your body. So, Abdulrazak, can you tell me a little bit about why is this bacteria so different from the common bacteria we get? And also, how does it decide to affect lungs and certain affect the rest of the body?
Sure. George, the thing is that the germ must enter your body. And the main route to enter your body is through the air. And they go to the lungs first. They go to the lungs and they stay over there and they multiply. And from the lungs, they can go through the blood system. And the moment they enter the blood system, it goes to your whole body.
Right, okay.
It can go to your brain, your kidneys, your bone, the heart, and everywhere in the body.
Everywhere.
Goes or they can also go to the lymphatic system. These are two systems they can still go to, the lymphatic system and the blood system.
Right.
And they go to the whole body in that way. And the TB germs are really clever germs. They are what they call intracellular germs. And by the way, the name of the TB germ is called Mycobacterium tuberculosis.
Right.
We call MTB in short. So this germ is a clever germ. They go inside the cells and they live there quietly.
Right.
So the thing is, they can become a dormant germ. Dormant means they are just living there quietly forever. And then later when you are immunocompromised, you become old or you get diabetes or you get some other disease, they wake up.
Like HIV as
like
well.
HIV. And if they go and sleep in your brain, you get TB in the brain.
Right.
If they go and sleep in your heart, they get TB in the heart. Same thing goes to your bone and your kidneys and everything.
So are you saying that I potentially can be harboring TB in me, but it's slow growing, but because my immune system is fighting it, so it's not doing anything?
That's very true.
And can he infect that to me?
No. The only time you can infect a person is when he's coughing out the bacteria.
That wasn't hard enough.
Exactly, yeah. So only when it coughs out, it gets the germs in the air and it gets to you. But there are some instances, Mira, I think is that we can also get TB by contact. In a sense that, suppose, say, there's one doctor I know who has actually got TB of the hand. And the TB of the hand is not due to the normal TB germ. We call them atypical mycobacterium. These are TB found on the soil,
right,
in the water. So this doctor likes to wash the aquarium.
Oh, it's a fish tank thing.
The fish tank, is correct. So this germ is called the tuberculosis of the murinium, found in the tank and in the sea, and also in the aquarium. I hope we don't have any fish in the house.
I don't.
Okay, great.
I'm against keeping
fish. Looks so fine, exactly. So
no, I'm just concerned now about water.
Yeah, exactly. So the TB can be found anywhere in the environment.
Well, in fact, there's some TB from my medical school days. I remember that TB can also be transmitted from, like, contaminated milk. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes, true.
How is that?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to panic. Dr. Razak, console me. Is there a difference between the mycobacterium that's found in the air and in the water?
They are different. It's saying that the ones that are bad are the ones found in the air.
Okay.
They are infectious.
But you just mentioned the doctor.
Yeah, correct. He's actually got a cut in his finger. So when he was cleaning the aquarium, that bacteria went to contact with the finger, and then the finger got an ulcer over there. So these are rare cases where they get it through contact. But the most important thing is by air and by airborne.
So what are you saying is that this bacteria is clever because it hides inside the cell, it can stay dormant for a long time, and it's slow growing,
very slow growing.
It lingers on and on and on.
It goes on and on.
Okay, this is where the university, we always say, you know, if you see a question that you can't answer, always say potentially TB and you can exactly. make it right. Exactly, and true. Then you only need to say something of a caseating granuloma, yeah, sure. which means that it looks like a cheese and yeah, then because true. It's all growing inside, it's all mashed up yeah. and then you might get away with answering exactly. the question true. Properly true. Because true. If it just in doubt, say TB. Right? Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But do we understand the bacteria enough after all these years?
You know what?
I mean, it was identified
1882.
Robert that's right.
Koch. Yeah. He found in Berlin.
Yeah, if we identified so long ago, we know antibiotics can exactly. Can solve this problem. Why haven't we eradicated this?
Because they are rascals.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Those bacterias are always ahead of us.
No, I don't think so, Mira. You know? I don't think
because I remember you just said that these are not dangerous bacteria. Why are they not dangerous if they are killing so many people?
The thing is, they are not dangerous because they grow slow. And then they can be sort of treated effectively with the antibiotics. Okay. They don't kill the person immediately or within a day or two. No? Like some viruses, like your SARS virus.
Mm-hmm.
You get SARS virus or you get what they call this bird flu virus and everything, and now we got this Muscovy virus.
Right.
You can die within 2 or 3 days.
Okay, those are aggressive.
Aggressive. These
and they're viruses.
They are viruses. They are different completely.
Yeah.
The bacteria, this bacteria grows very slow. Anything that grows very slow, Mira, dies very slow.
Right.
That's the magic about treatment. That's why for treating TB, you must give them for 6 months treatment. Because they die very slow and they hide everywhere in the body.
Right. So, I mean, we're practically doomed, really. So we have all these wave of attacks.
Yeah,
and then this is a slow-growing bacteria. True. And then you also, if you don't treat it completely, and then sure. presumably you're going to get resistance. We exactly. won't probably talk about resistance.
But, you know, that's the thing, right? Compared to viruses, there is... No antibiotic. You
no,
can't use antibiotic.
We call it antiviral.
Correct, but yes, not yeah. for all. Even
not for
then.
All, yes, true.
But yeah. with bacteria, we have antibiotics.
Exactly.
But true. Even then, we've abused antibiotics
exactly,
and now
true.
We have a problem.
True.
Is that true? Tell us a little bit about
yeah,
the resistance
have,
problem.
If you ask the resistance.
Me, for Malaysia, George, we are still very well controlled. We yes, are sir. Lucky. We are lucky because we have got one of the best TB control system in this region, if you ask me.
In what way?
In the sense that we have got a TB control program very well organized over the past 60, 70 years. It's one of the best in this region.
How have we done well?
We have done well in the sense that we have sort of have satellite treatment center for TB. If someone's come and see me for TB in my institute, and if I find the chap is staying somewhere in Stapa or say in Gomba, I don't want to ask him to come and see me every day. So we have got a system called directly observed therapy, or they call DOT. So the person goes to the nearest clinic to the house to take the medication every day. And we've got a book for the doctor to sign every day. No, sorry, the nurse to sign every day. So the guy will bring a book every day to the clinic and the nurse will give the medicine to him and the nurse will sign the book every day.
Is this to ensure compliance?
Exactly. We want to make sure they take the medicine properly, regularly,
daily,
to prevent the multi-drug resistant TB.
Okay.
Because if you don't take it properly, then...
You will create a monster.
Mm.
You'll create a monster.
And right. that's why they say, you
exactly,
know, if you're given an antibiotic course, finish it.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Very true.
Which most
true.
Of us don't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so true. Essentially what you're saying is that we have a reporting system. Let's say if I diagnose a patient with testicular TB, that is reportable to ministry.
True.
And then afterwards, you have a program. What happened if the patients are non-compliant? You know, you ask them to go to Gomba and then, you know, they will turn up one day and then not turn up to another day.
Exactly.
Do you lock them up?
We do lock them up. We have another system called the public health system. So, very interesting, Mira. When I diagnose a patient with TB, I notify the Ministry of Health. If you don't do it, George, you'll be fined 500 ringgit.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, did you know that?
No, we know that.
Thank you.
HIV is another kind of disease that you're supposed to report.
We have about 20 other diseases notifiable. So, if you do not notify the disease, then you'll be fined. So, if I notify a disease in my nearest clinic, kesehatan, or we call public health clinic over there, they will be actually notifying other people in the health system to go and do contact tracing.
Right. So how do you do that?
So the thing is, suppose I've got a patient who's staying in Gomba with TB. I inform the PKD Gomba. No? And they will actually go to the patient's house and then see how many people are staying in the house there.
Mm-hmm.
The father, the mother, the siblings and all those people. And they will say that your son has got TB. Please come to my clinic and check for chest X-ray and check for your sputum and your mental test. So that's why you got contact tracing is done.
So everyone in that household?
Yes.
Okay. And yeah. would that create some sort of like a scared in the community?
Definitely.
For the
That's the biggest thing.
Seriously?
The stigma is still there. It is still there. When you go there with the hospital car and everything, people look at the neighbor and say, why is he coming to my house? Mm-hmm.
No? Of course.
The fear is there. No? But it's for good.
Of course, because, if you think of, traveling public transportation, all in, close proximity. I mean, if we don't do something.
What can you do, as a clinician? Mm-hmm. Cleaning hands and that sort of things, when we treat the patients with TB. But for community, how do you prevent yourself from getting it?
We'll just come back
to that.
Yeah,
we'll come back to that.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
Hi, LTY, you have a question?
Hello,
LTY, mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Dr. George. And good afternoon, doctor. How are you all?
Thank you very much. Okay. Good afternoon.
I have two questions, please, okay?
Sure.
My first question. My father has TB at the age of about 50.
Okay.
And he died at the age of 80, of course, TB-free, cannot last 30 years, all
okay,
right?
Okay, great.
Tell us about the genetic factor regarding the downline generation. How does this spread regarding genes, okay?
Okay,
my
sure.
Second question. This is very interesting, always interesting. Do smokers have a higher incidence?
Ah. Fantastic. I love this question.
I love this question. Thank you, LTY.
Okay. Okay, I think I'll answer the smoking thing first.
The genes, and George is listening.
it's very interesting. No? Just recently, we found that smoking is a big risk factor for TB.
Mm. Why just recently? You would think there's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, correct. The thing is, we never thought of smoking as a risk factor in the sense that we thought smoking would just cause lung cancer and COPD and all other things. But recently, we found that over the past 10, 15 years, we found that whenever somebody smokes, the smoke will kill, again, the soldiers in the lungs.
Oh, the defense system.
Okay. Yes, correct. The defense system, the lungs are completely gone. Mm. And that's where the germs enter your body, through the lungs.
Right.
So those guys who smoke, they got the very high risk to get TB. Very high risk to get TB. And again, they found that WHO study shows that 20% of the world people got TB are smokers.
20%.
And if you just cut down smoking, this 20%, we already cut down 20% of TB in the country or in the world.
Okay.
And Malaysians, 45% of Malaysians smoke.
45%?
Yes.
Seriously?
Adult male Malaysians.
You're coming out with statistics smoke. That is scaring us every time.
It's true.
It's like 25,000 people at TB and 45% of Malaysian adults
smoke. And it's very sad. It is very sad. It's something which we pick up as a fun.
Do we not see this rate decline, growing at a slower rate?
Yes, correct.
The number of people smoking. True. Is that happening in Malaysia?
It is. The ministry is finding a slow decline. It is a slow decline there.
Yeah,
from 50%, we are now to 45%. But it's not so slow. Some neighboring countries is only about 10, 17%.
Like Singapore.
I don't know.
You don't know what to say.
You know what I mean? The thing is, that's a risk factor to get TB anyway. And LTY just now mentioned nicely, smoking is definitely a risk factor for TB, for sure.
Right.
And the first question, about very interesting. I don't think it's a gene. It's not a gene, TB is not caused by a genetic disease. It is an infectious disease. I think you have to know. It's a disease, you get it from somebody. Mm-hmm. You're not born with TB.
Are people more susceptible to it? My mother had TB. And then, will I be more susceptible to it?
Not really. But I think you'll be infected with by your mother.
Because we live in the same community, under the same roof.
Exactly.
Have you ever gotten yourself checked out?
Exactly. So I think I'm getting buried now.
Let's say it's been dormant, in him for, all this time. Can he actually get it checked?
Definitely. The thing is, that's the first question the LTY asked just now. His father had TB when he was 50 years old.
Yes.
And I don't know when LTY was born then or not.
Well, LTY, let's say, LTY
was...
He's
70.
He's
70. Great. So you would have exposed to the father with the TB germs. And probably LTY is a very healthy person. Mm-hmm. The TB did not infect him then.
But he smokes.
But he smoked. Then his risk factor is always there. So when the germs are already, the father has got TB and the LTY lives with the father, the germs goes to LTY. And like I said just now, they can remain dormant for years. Mm-hmm. And LTY can get TB anytime if he's immunocompromised, either by smoking or he gets diabetes or he gets very, very old or he gets immunocompromised.
But can he check?
You can check, but probably if he's lying dormantly in your body, there may not be anything to look to. You can do. There's a thing called mental testing.
Mm-hmm. Explain a little bit about Montreal. What is
the mental testing? When you're talking of TB, Mira, there are three tests you must do to confirm TB or denounce TB. The most important thing is check your phlegm for the bacteria by microscope.
And that's what they call it. More dignified word is scrotum.
Scrotum, exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And number two is a chest X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
X-ray picks up very well in the sense that even your small dot in the X-ray in your lungs can be seen by the X-ray. And third thing we do is we call a mental testing. A mental testing is a test where they inject under your skin. And they ask you to come back in 3 days' time to see whether there's any swelling there in your forearm. If the swelling is there for more than 10 millimeters swelling after the first injection 3 days ago, that means the germs are living in your body.
Right.
That's it. And they can be living dormantly and quietly. You may be a healthy person, nothing wrong with you, but if the mental test come back as positive, if LTY goes for a test and the mental test come back as
positive,
it's positive.
And you need treatment.
He has got the germ in the body. It's just a matter of time he will get it in the future. The thing, only good thing is, Mira, is that only 10% of the people with a positive mental test develop a disease, the lifelong risk factors.
Okay, but can you do anything about it?
Does correct.
It,
the thing is,
get rid of the bacteria?
This is what WHO doing, something very interesting now. WHO came out last year with a new guideline. I don't know if Josh, you know about this thing.
No, no.
They come with a new guideline last year only by WHO. They say that 1/3 of the world population has got TB in their body. Would you believe it? 1/3 of the world population.
So I'm infected.
I'm infected. If you ask me, I'm infected because I work in the hospital for TB patients.
Oh, yes.
Oh no,
that's
no, that's throw him out now.
So you're joining us now, Mira. You're one of us now. Don't worry.
I mean, doctors.
Hold that cough.
That's Dr. Hubbard. We Hubbard the germs in our
body. Yes, you do.
So the thing is, what WHO says is very interesting. So when you're harboring the germs in your body, if you find the mental test is positive, we give them a drug called prophylaxis TB treatment. That means we give them only one antibiotic which kills the TB bacilli in the body, which is a small amount to prevent the TB to become a disease in the future.
Yeah, because one of the problems, one of the barriers people face in TB treatment is that you take 3 months of three different antibiotics for six months. Some people might going for the 1 year.
One
right?
year, true, agree.
One whole year of
you
three
antibiotics. You can test this in 1 year.
That's right.
Wow. Really,
Josh? Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And then, therefore, that compliance of, you know, daily visit to your Gombak clinic is a 1 year visit.
Is it costly?
It's all paid for the basic.
It's 100% free in the government. 100% free.
Okay.
Very good thing that the infectious disease ACTA for the Malaysian government says that if you've got infectious disease, you are given 100% pre-treatment.
We're a pretty good healthcare system.
We've got one of the best systems in Malaysia.
And people don't realize
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And value for money. We can always talk about that, right?
You're going to see George in the Gleneagles.
No, don't say. Let's not even go there.
No, for TB, don't come to see me.
No, but you, when the patients come to see you in private, just refer them to government?
Absolutely, we have to. In fact, that is one of the conditions that actually has to be treated in human. I mean, in fact, one of the things that, you know, in medical school, people keep saying that, you know, whenever in doubt, think of TB. And it is true. Whenever condition is not going away, blood in the urine. In fact, one of the interesting things about TB in the urinary tract is that it always produces a pyuria in the morning. It's a first void of morning urine. It's a bit have debris, and then that contains a lot of these white cells, because throughout the night you accumulate all the TB, and then you pee it out in the morning urine. Actually, may detect the TB, which is an interesting thing we do.
All right, so you know, you're doing my head in, because you know, I'm alarmed. I mean, we got 24,000 cases last
one
year.
1/3 of us are infected.
1/3 of the world population has tuberculosis. My question is then, or how do we go forward from here? I mean, do we need a screening option for
everyone?
We
need World TB Day every week.
World TB Day every day. Every day.
I mean, it's 1/3 of the population.
Exactly.
So we'll come back and continue this discussion. If you have a question on tuberculosis, send it through. Our phone lines are open, 03-7710-9000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Coming up, we'll find out more about how to prevent tuberculosis on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio for his weekly show together with Dr. Abdulraza Abdulmutalif. He's the director at the Institute of Respiratory Medicine. Really the best person to talk about this,
isn't
it?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in, sure. Dr. Abdulraza. I know it was very last minute and I know you need to run off soon.
He's got before a plane you run
away.
Running away from us.
I know, yes. No, but well, you know, so much information.
You can call me again.
No, actually, you know, to be honest with you, earlier on when we had a market update, it was talking about the biggest decliner is British American Tobacco.
Are you responsible for what you just said?
You're probably responsible for what you said, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Is any place in the world spared from tuberculosis?
No, it's all over the world.
Seriously?
It's just a matter of the rates are either low or high. We have a three, we can say, TB severity in a country. We got low burden country, high burden country, and intermediate burden country.
What are we?
We are intermediate burden.
Okay.
We are not high, we are not low.
Right.
So we are somewhere in between.
Okay.
No? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's not good in the sense that we should be going to low. Or we should be getting zero, in fact.
Okay, so, I mean, we have such a good system in place.
Exactly.
Where are we going wrong?
I don't know. I think that's what...
it's a doctor shopping.
No, the World TB team is very interesting, Mira. You just now. It's reach, treat and cure. We have to reach them. We're not reaching them exactly.
Okay, all right.
Last time, Mira, whenever you say you want to catch a TB patient, we call them passive dissection. Passive means I sit at a doctor in the hospital. You come and see me because you got a cough. And I do X-ray for you. I say, oh, Mira, I got TB. I say that to you. But now the government is going to be a different thing. What the government says is that we got to be active case finding.
So
that means
go
we
out
got,
there and
we
get
got
it.
To reach them.
Okay.
Reach them, and then you go and
treat them,
and then go and cure them. That's the theme for this year's World TB.
All right.
So we can reach all these high-risk groups, like the prisoners, the post-hospitality, and the drug addicts, and the HIV positives, and the diabetic people, and the smokers. Go after them.
And when you say go after them, what do you do? Screening tests?
Exactly, yes. The government started.
So what do you do? A
sputum
test?
The government already started screening for TB in all diabetic patients. Okay. And the government already started...
Which is a third of the population.
Exactly. And the government already started screening all HIV-positive patients for TB.
All right.
And the government is also starting screening for TB in the prisoners. And the government is also starting screening for TB in the old folks' home and the elderly people. Mm-hmm. And we are doing it. We are doing it. We are going towards it. No? But it's lots of work. A lot of work.
Not enough.
Not enough, yes.
Okay. Not enough money. What is it?
Money is not the issue. Maybe it's a manpower and time.
Right.
Yeah.
It is sounds like a very laborious
true,
task,
yes,
actually.
True. Yes,
okay,
true.
Bruce, you have a question?
Yes, I just want to ask. The doctor was saying something about active treatment from the government.
Yes.
I have a student friend who is suspected of TB because he has been having cough with blood in his sputum for about 3 weeks or so already.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has seen the doctors at HKL, but the problem is he's a student around 20s. He doesn't have a car, doesn't have motor transport to get between Malawati, where he stays, outskirts of Malawati to HKL. So I was wondering what kind of options are there for him. To you know, follow up for his current treatment.
But is it confirmed TB, Bruce?
They highly suspect it. I think they did a urine test and sputum test 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
But they still haven't confirmed it. So they're still having some follow up at HKL actually.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
I think Bruce, thanks for the question. The thing is, any person have to do some test to confirm TB first.
Right.
And it can be done only in a big hospital or maybe a hospital.
For example, this person, Mr. Right. X, is confirmed.
Yeah,
what
right.
Bruce is trying to ask is that is there any means that the government is helping them to reach your center for clinical assessment? And also, let's say this guy is a student. Is he allowed to go back to the classroom to be with the other people?
Sure. The thing is, if the person is confirmed TB, then we will give them medical leave at least for 2 or 3 weeks. And we make sure that the TB, there's no more TB germs in the sputum. That's very important. And again, if the patient is confirmed TB, and then like if it's staying in Tapa or somewhere very far away, we can always send the person to go to the nearest clinic to take medication there every day. It doesn't have to come to HKL every day.
But
private
ideally...
Public?
Public.
Yes,
public.
Public. Yes, correct. It's public.
So for now, for Mr. X, what should he do?
Yes, he has to confirm TB first.
And he does that at...
At least GH or my institute. Yes,
okay.
So, at the Institute of Respiratory Medicine.
For that 3 weeks of sick leave, does it mean that he has to be confined at home so that he doesn't spread this elsewhere?
This is really interesting, Josh. They have been coughing for the past 3-4 months.
So it makes no difference.
It doesn't make a difference.
So is there any guideline specifically?
Yeah.
He's been coughing for 4 weeks.
4 weeks. So it's already been spreading. If it is TB, it's already spreading for the past 4 weeks. But the moment you confirm the person got TB, we only give them an education to prevent it to spread further anyway. Mm-hmm. Like a cough etiquette. Cover your mouth when you cough and do not spit all over the places, no? And do not spit on people's face.
I think that should be etiquette for everyone, not just people with TB.
My main concern for him now is because actually he's a personal friend of my sister in the same college.
Sure,
He has no real family dependence, other people to help him to get to his health. And so he's pretty much dependent on friends at the moment.
Sure.
It's quite vulnerable. So yeah, just wondering what options.
Is he a Malaysian?
Yes, he's a Malaysian.
Okay, he's a Malaysian. If he's a Malaysian, then it should not be a problem, no? I can always ask him to come and see me in my institute, no problem.
Okay.
But she's already done some work in HKL, some tests done in HKL. So we'll be duplicating the study test again. So it may not be a fair thing.
But you are situated at HKL anyway.
We're just next door to HKL.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
All right. Hope that helps, Bruce. Thank you very much for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye. We lost one call, but we were talking about washing hands and the vaccine. So there's no vaccine. That's not going to work.
There is
anymore.
A vaccine. There is a vaccine like BCG, but it's not lifelong protection. And we are doing lots of study now to get new vaccines into the market.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult because the germs are just clever. They mutate. They change.
Right.
Okay.
So how much protection do I have? Mira and I been through the whole, BCG, and then how much protection are we talking about for all the public?
70%. Although we are way past 27 years
of age. It's not lifelong. You're already gone. You're already past the age of 15 years, I'm sure.
That's why I say we're way past 27.
Exactly. Yes.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that after your 15 years way past, and then it's like practically useless?
Practically, it's a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, all right.
So hit the gym, George. Yes. Madeline, your question.
Okay, I just want to know, I have a brother who's diagnosed with TB in the bones.
Okay.
And it has been taking him so long to cure. He has been with a bandage for so long.
Mm.
And he doesn't have cough or anything, but it's just that apparently the doctors say that it's TB in the bones.
Mm.
And it's already almost 3 years.
3 years?
Is there a cure?
Yeah. Now, TB, that's Madeline, there's always a cure for TB anywhere in the body.
Mm.
But probably the TB and the bones is interesting because the bones takes a long time to cure.
Yeah, my mom's took about a year and a half.
Because it was a sternum.
It takes a long time to cure. Because the one thing is that the antibody you take for TB, it doesn't go to the bone easily. So they'll take for a long period. Sometimes the doctor may even do surgery for the TB of the bone.
Mm.
If it's very bad.
But surgery of any organ with TB is actually bad news, isn't it? It's quite difficult to heal and also something.
It is difficult to heal, but there's no choice.
All right.
We got a patient with TB of the spine. When they got TB of the spine is also a bone mirror. When they got TB of the spine, it would come late, that spine will just collapse and they may get paralyzed.
Oh.
So that's when sometimes they have to go for urgent surgery to fuse the bone or repair the bone.
Okay. The first line of treatment is antibiotics.
Antibiotic, yes, correct. Surgery is sometimes play a role, but not a very important role.
Okay.
Right, I mean, the obstacles I see that, TB causing problems, apart from you said that there are waves of immigrants, diabetes, mm-hmm. poor lifestyle, I also see on the medical side, we are having obstacles. Number one is multi-resistant, problems.
Sure.
Number two is this, we're relying on a BCG, which is a very old vaccine.
Exactly, true.
And exactly how far are we away from that? And also, the other thing is that 3 days of making a diagnosis, like what Bruce was highlighting, that, to get that, you go back to multiple, and also measuring how big it is, sounds very primitive.
Exactly.
Isn't there a really more faster, accurate diagnosis, such as DNA era these days?
Oh, yes, true. Even George, we've got lots of new things for TB right now. Over the past 10, 15 years, we've found lots of new diagnostic
antibodies. Because that's important, isn't it?
Exactly. We have a thing called a point-of-care testing for TB right now, where they do a molecular testing. they look for the molecules of the TB germs.
Okay.
And you can get the result within 2 hours. 2 hours a song.
Okay. And that exists. That exists as a diagnostic, approved diagnostic
tool. Exactly, yes. We do have it in Malaysia right now, but we just started about a year ago. So that's one of the best point of care testing for TB. You don't need a lab. You just need the instrument to send
to put you put some sort of body liquid into the kit, and it will tell you within two hours positive or negative. Yes,
what is your outlook for TB in Malaysia?
If you ask me, that is very good. The future is there. And we are going to.
With 24,711
one year ago, we got this state of the art diagnostic.
Yeah, but the other way around, Mira. The more cases they find, you should be happy in a way. Yeah, we're not missing them.
Mira doesn't look convinced.
No, I am convinced. We're not missing them. So the numbers would probably go up.
Yes, correct. It may go up initially.
Good diagnostic.
It's a good. I mean, we are reaching them.
Yep. So what you're saying is that the number needs to go up first before
it
comes down.
Yeah, it's true. Very true.
All right, I guess it makes a team.
We'll have you back in a year's time.
I'll be very happy to come back, Mira.
And
thank you very much.
We'll figure it out. But the WHO last year announced that the goal of completely eliminating TB by 2050.
Exactly. It's a very good dream. And I think it can come true.
But what about in developing countries and poorer countries? It's a problem. It takes into account socioeconomic status as well. In those areas are going undiagnosed, even the rural areas.
Exactly.
In this country, poor
gets more TB because they can't get the medical.
Bruce was describing somebody who's vulnerable. Yes, you know, it's just on economic means you can't reach the hospital.
Exactly, yes,
and
true.
That is why we can't reach them.
Very true.
Yeah,
very true.
Mira, I like the way you said 2000 and when?
50.
All right. UN chief actually urged the government to intensify effort to end tuberculosis by 2035.
Exactly. So 15
years
later,
we need to buckle up a little bit. So exactly what do we do to buckle up to make this a dream?
Educate and talk to people about TB every time. Whenever you're free, Mira, just say, have you got cough? Have you gone to see a GP?
So we'll go through again. The symptoms, prolonged cough, loss of weight, loss of appetite,
night sweats. And you may cough out blood.
Okay, you may. All right. Should we all wear a mask in public transportation?
Not really.
Don't be paranoid about it.
Next time you see somebody who's wearing a mask and then actually washing her hands repeatedly, Mira.
Actually, it's true. When the SARS came to Hong Kong,
everybody
became careful about coughing out and they all are wearing masks. In a way, it's very good.
Does it make any difference?
It makes a difference.
So the mask that we wear...
Depending what type of mask,
isn't it? The three-ply mask may protect you to certain... Not 100%. You 100%, you must be wearing the Google and all this protective wear, they call it.
Yep.
But N95 mask can protect to a certain extent some infections.
And washing hands.
And coughing out and trying
and eat healthily.
Coughing etiquette, people, come on.
Yeah, true.
Start covering your mouth. You cough. Thank you both very much for joining me today. That was Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist, and Dr. Abdulraza Abdulmutallif, director of the Institute of Respiratory Medicine. And you're at the Hospital Kuala Lumpur if you need to reach Dr. Abdulraza.
No, at the Institute.
But you're next to the hospital, Kuala Lumpur.
Yes,
you're off to Penang, I understand.
To Labuan.
To Labuan.
Tomorrow is the World TB Day national level in Labuan.
Forum.
Yes.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
And then we want to see that figure going up a little bit before it comes down.
Definitely.
This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.